This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
9 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne along as well. He ain't going anywhere. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to be a part of the show. 572-4610. Seth, there was a article that I stumbled upon over the weekend from ESPN, and it was put together by Aaron Schatz, who's analyzes NFL teams in the off season and was trying to figure out for each NFL franchise if there was one more move that each needed to make, what would it be? Who would it be for? And for the Texans, it was at the cornerback position. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And the premise around it was, well, hey, Ronald Darby, you remember him about a month or so ago, ended up deciding to retire. And the Texans have pivoted, so to speak, to a former now Houston Roughneck by the name of Damon Arnett. Damon Arnett was actually on our show a few weeks back on Area 45. And Aaron Wilson, KPRC, did a nice little story on him just about a week before the Texans ended up signing him. And now I think we have details on the contract, which is for the minimum, just over $1 million, I believe, is what the Texans signed Arnett for a one-year deal. But that was kind of like their direct move, right? So Ronald Darby calls it quits, and now Damon Arnett is signed by the Texans. Done, right? Well, yeah, Aaron Schatz says, no. There's one more move that the Texans should make, and it should be for Rasul Douglas. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Rasul Douglas is okay. I don't think that Damon Arnett signing was as linked to Ronald Darby. And like as a replacement for Ronald Darby, because Ronald Darby was on the team because, okay, he's a veteran that is past his prime, but you can trust him when he's out there. Damon Arnett's the opposite of that. They have no idea whether or not they can trust Damon Arnett.
Right.
So the upside is there, and they'd like, it's the classic Nick Caserio, we just want to get the guy in the building. And if it works out, it's great. But I don't think that they would stop looking for another veteran to potentially come in. Rasul Douglas is interesting because he had a really down year last year, and his first couple years in the NFL weren't that good. But he had, from 2021 to 2023, he was playing like one of the better cornerbacks in the league. He could play outside, he could play inside. I think that he's a classic guy that people are curious about him, but they don't know if they can trust him 100% based on last year. And what kind of contract is he looking for? So I'm guessing that the Texans have talked, had conversations about Douglas, and they might still be on the table, but Douglas might just be waiting to see exactly what the best offer and best situation is, and he'll want to have a bounce back here. I think that it would not surprise me at all if they did sign him. It wouldn't surprise me if I found out that the Texans were talking to Jaire Alexander before he signed with the Ravens. Because that the reports were that that Jaire Alexander had better offers than what he had in Baltimore, but he was college roommates with Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of reasons he'd want to go there for a one-year prove-it deal. So, we've seen in the last couple of years, there's some time during the season when all of a sudden you've got a rookie cornerback out playing his first snaps of the game, and it was a guy who was a veteran, you know, waiver wire pickup or whatever it might be. Last year, Okuda in the Cowboys game was a guy that you had out there who wasn't one of your starters and lets up a touchdown. There's the you can never have enough good cornerbacks.
There you
so
go.
I think a lot of it really comes down to if a guy like Rasul Douglas is out there, or if there's a waiver wire release, how has Jalen Smith played during training camp? If Jalen Smith looks like a rookie that they feel like they can count on and they can use him in spot duty, then they probably don't feel a lot of urgency to go out and get a guy like Douglas. But if they get a couple weeks into camp and they feel like, oh boy, all right, we don't want to roll into the season like this. Jalen Smith isn't as far along as we had hoped. Then you might see a move like that. I'll be surprised if it happens before this season.
I'd be surprised if we didn't see a pretty healthy dose by season end of Jalen Smith. Just from a historical standpoint, you know, I like to look at this kind of stuff. And in the Caserio era, if you've been drafted within the top four rounds, your ass is going to play your rookie season. They're going to see what you got. And the Texans, you know, that's obviously too credit to their evaluation, their scouting process, and they've made some really good decisions within the top four rounds. And they've definitely given guys opportunities to play. But it's just, I know what you're saying. You need insurance for your insurance, right?
Yeah.
You brought Damon Arnett in. Okay, cool. All you depth chart nerds out there, don't worry about the fact that Damon Arnett is behind Tremont Smith and Derek Stingley at corner. It comes down from a matchup to matchup standpoint. Tremont Smith is, you know, more of a special teams guy, and I know we've seen him a little bit at corner, but if Damon Arnett can be the ball hawk that he was this past season for the Roughnecks and has been before in the past and plays with that physicality, you watch that guy play then when he was drafted by the Raiders in 2020 and here recently. That's exactly the way that D'Amico Ryans wants everybody defensively to play. So it could be a really good thing for the Texans and Damon Arnett if it's a match made in heaven. But you need insurance for that. And I'm with you. If it's Rasul Douglas, if it's somebody else, and I think there's going to be plenty of somebody else's. I mean, we're still a little ways away from training camp. Texans are going to continue to facilitate like heavy competition at all positions. It just so happens that corner is maybe the one that I feel like needs it most right now. I feel pretty good about everything else.
Well, you know, I mean, you look at last year, Okuda and CJ Henderson were the two guys that were former high first-round picks.
Yeah.
That you're going to take a flyer on and see exactly how it played out.
But they got hurt.
And it's like, that's where I Damon Arnett right now in my mind, it would be an awesome story if it works out. There's zero part of me that thinks the team is relying on him. I think that is that's 100%. I mean, the guy's never been a good player in the NFL, and he's got a long list of, you know, legal issues, which credit to him if he can overcome that. And now he's walking the straight and narrow path and everything. But this is an extreme, like Okuda and Henderson had played viable football in the NFL at times before last year.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Damon Arnett's never done a single thing in the NFL. So it's a complete flyer for me. Yeah. Whatever they were thinking after Ronald Darby retired, I think they're still thinking like, okay, we'd still would like to have a veteran that we feel good about and can trust. And Rasul Douglas probably just costs more than they want to spend for him right now.
Here's the write-up real quick from Aaron Schatz. And yes, that's a real person. Kick Rocks was asking on YouTube. It's a real person. The Texans lost some of their depth at corner when Ronald Darby retired in early June. So let's give him another veteran to play behind Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. Douglas, 29 years old, didn't have a great year for Buffalo last season, but two seasons ago, ranked third in the NFL in my coverage DVOA metric. He can play both inside and outside, which gives Coach D'Amico Ryans some more flexibility. Speaking of inside and outside, for Kamari Lassiter, do you see him more as a slot corner long term, or is he a guy that can hold it down outside?
I don't understand the drumbeat necessarily, and maybe I'm just too dumb to get it for moving Kamari Lassiter into the slot, just because it's like slot is a classic position that from year to year you can get guys that perform really well in the slot who aren't marquee outside type guys, and or guys that like it's very erratic from year to year. But if you have a guy that can play on the outside, that's the more valuable thing to have on your team. And I didn't see anything from Kamari Lassiter that makes me feel like in the long term he shouldn't be your plan at outside corner. But I do. But I'm open to be having a blind spot on this. I just haven't quite. It feels like it's still based a little bit on his pre-draft scouting reports and everything else that somehow you're concerned about Kamari Lassiter. I don't. Am I foolish for being as bullish as I am on Kamari Lassiter?
No, I don't. Yeah. You know, if you're foolish, then we're all foolish, and we're all going to be fools maybe if it doesn't work out. But I mean, coming off of the rookie season that he had, are you kidding me? How could you not feel good about it?
Yeah, I don't like the slot corner is very important, and obviously but it also just does create a whole bunch of other, like, there's times where Kamari can go in and play in the slot in specific matchups where you don't want Jalen Petrie in there playing the nickel linebacker or nickelbacker type position.
Yeah.
But it's not something where I feel like, oh, yeah, that needs to be his focus, because it's just not as big an impact as having an outside cornerback where he is. So I don't – somebody reach out to me via my DMs or something and explain to me why I'm being stupid on this, because I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand it.
So one final move – that NFL teams should make before the season starts. I thought we'd take a look at the rest of the AFC South, and two teams in particular, because the names kind of popped to me. According to Aaron Schatz, who put this together, the Indianapolis Colts, last move they should make before the season is sign safety Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's the one suggested move I saw that I wish they wouldn't make. Simmons played for the Falcons last year. It was curious that he sat out there in free agency as long as he did, and he was on a 1-year deal, still out there right now. I think the Texans fans were irate last year that the Texans weren't signing Justin Simmons. Turns out that they really liked Kalen Bullock. I think it was the sum total of it was, yeah, we drafted a guy that we're planning on playing, and it worked out pretty well. So it's something that I don't like seeing the Colts actually improve any more than they need to. The one thing that
right.
The one move that intrigued me that Aaron Schatz suggested was Jadeveon Clowney to the Jaguars.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see that either. Listen, I know what Jadeveon Clowney is. He's not a guy that showed that he was worthy of a number two overall pick. I get that. But he's still a headache. And he's still a hand grenade in the backfield in a lot of ways. He's disruptive at the line of scrimmage. I don't need any of the sweet irony that you get sometimes when a guy that was on your team ends up getting the final sack to close out a game. I don't need that at all.
He's, for me, that's where I was going to go next, is Jadeveon Clowney. That's the one that I'd be more worried about than anything else, because one, it's the Jags. I think it's too easy to kind of crap on the Jags. Out of all of the quarterbacks in this division, that's not the Texans and CJ Stroud, right? They've got the one that has shown the most promise before. Okay. And I think it makes me a little uncomfortable to kind of like neglect the Jags. They've already got Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker as their edge rushers. If you added Jadeveon Clowney in there, if I'm Jag fan, I'm feeling as good about my edge rush as if I'm a Texan fan and looking at Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter with the conglomerate of quarterback headhunters that the Texans have. Derek Barnett being one of my favorite that the Texans have decided to retain. Somebody that people don't talk near enough about, I think, from a Texans perspective. It would scare the hell out of me if the Jags got Jadeveon Clowney. They would be really formidable. And when you're going into a season, you have to play these guys twice with the questions that we have about the offensive line and keeping CJ Stroud healthy. I don't need that in my life.
The offensive line, it's you worry about it enough that all of a sudden you forget to keep worrying about it. Yeah. But I'm optimistic that they're going to look better than they did last year, just because so much of the issues last year
they
started with Bobby Slowick. So if Nick Caley can just be an average offensive coordinator, the offensive line should look better. But it's a huge question mark at right tackle right now. If Titus Howard ends up playing guard, you're going to have either Blake Fisher, Ariante Ursary, the rookie, or Trent Brown, who's coming off of patellar tendon tear, at right tackle, and you're going up against right from week one. You face a really big challenge with the Rams. You've got the Jags in week three. You still have the Ravens in that first four game stretch. The Titans, you got the interior offensive lineman who destroyed you last year. Like, the Texans offensive line faces some really big challenges in those first four games.
Yep, no doubt. And speaking of the Titans, the guy that Aaron Schatz says they should go get before the season starts is linebacker Kaiser White.
Fine. I approve of that move. Go ahead and get Kaiser White. That's what you've been missing. You guys have it. You guys have been sitting there trying to function without Kaiser White on your team. That'll be the trick that does it, you bunch of inbred louts. Yeah.
I threw him in there. I said I was going to do the AFC South, but yeah, it's like what people are doing to the Jags is what I feel totally comfortable doing with the Tennessee Titans. It's like, yeah, they're over there. They're there. That's fine. Like, I'll look at Cam Ward every once in a while, but I'm not too worried about them.
Liam Cohen is the one that I'm worried about with the Jaguars, just because he did a really good job with Tampa's offense last year. So, in getting the most, you know, he got the best season Baker Mayfield's ever had out of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
If he can do that for Trevor Lawrence, I mean, we've seen the upside of Trevor Lawrence, just nobody's ever been able to capture it consistently.
I was going to say the same thing about Liam Cohen and ask you. I'm sure you guys talked about it the other day. I think it came out like Wednesday. The Pro Football Focus grades on offensive play callers.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that? Bobby Slowick, I brought it up on my show because I noticed that Bobby Slowick, like, according to PFF and how they graded their play callers, his pass grade was zero. It was horrible.
It was a guy who did an analysis of using PFF data, but it was their how the play calling in the pass game and in the run game affected the talent on the field. Bobby Slowick had the worst grade since 2010 of charting all of those, that he was the worst pass calling play caller since 2010.
That
matches the eyeball test. Yeah, I'll go with that.
It does. Well, I told PC, I was like, yeah, it does. But zero? Zero? Seriously? Like, I feel like that's piling on. I told PC, I was like, dude, Slowick pissed somebody off at PFF. Like, they have it out for this guy at this point. Like, no way it was zero, right?
I mean, honestly, I try not to second guess this stuff too much in the moment, but there have been some glaring examples in the last couple of years. I'll go to the Bengals game from 2 years ago and then the Bills game last year, where they were simply passing when they shouldn't be passing the ball. Like, when you just need to grind clock down. The Texans were in field goal position in their second to last drive versus the Bills last year, and they passed to the sideline like three times in a row. Well, they still had three timeouts in their back pocket too. Like, they should have had complete and total control. They end up getting an intentional grounding on a pass to Dalton Schultz that forces them to punt. The Texans still miraculously win that game versus the Bills. But it was some of that just simple, wait, why are you passing? Why are you choosing to run this pass play in these situations? That was like, when you look back on it in the sum total of it all, yeah, he made some curious decisions.
Yeah, I brought that up because you mentioned Liam Cohen, and looking at his grades on the stats that we're talking about with the PFF, like, he was one of the most well-balanced play callers last year. And I thought that was kind of, boy, you know, people are crapping on the Jags, man. You got that guy who's been one of the better play callers in the NFL. Just pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not comfortable ever with the unknown. There is the fear of the unknown very much for me with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Liam Cohen. Coming up next, we'll get to a little bit more of the unknown, right? Kevin Durant, what's he look like with the Rockets? Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce had some interesting things to say on their podcast about KD's method to his madness. We'll have the audio for you next. Stay put.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. He's Seth Payne, 713-572-4610 if you want to text the program. Join the chat, YouTube, Twitch. We appreciate you. If you haven't done so, download the Odyssey app. It's free, and you never have to miss a thing. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll talk with the fellas on In the Loop. John Lopez out today. I saw my guy, Chris Partee. He's in the house with Reggie Atatula. Figgy Fig, I would imagine, is here as well. They've got you from 10 until 2. Between now and then, Seth, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. This is current audio, unlike the ones that we played for earlier, but it was fun. Pat Beverly and Lou Williams talking about Kevin Durant from 2019. Maybe one of my favorite audio cuts about any player ever. Lou Williams made that whole thing possible.
Yeah, those guys just saying that, man, okay, we tried everything we could to stop Durant, and no, it was not. He was going to score 50 points tonight. That's pretty much it.
I wish but, I would have
trust
been
us.
There.
We tried. We tried mixing things up. We tried everything, and it was not going to happen. Now that was 6 years ago, but it was fun audio to listen to.
Oh, it was fun. Lou Williams just like, dude, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Yeah. Pat Bev, like, if you were the coach, how would you tell us to stop him? He's Kevin Durant. Well, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce had a little bit of a different discussion. In fact, this is mainly all Kevin Garnett because Paul Pierce, watching this podcast, very different personality from him than I am used to seeing on any one of those like First Take shows where he's very vocal. This dude was shades, slouched down in his chair, and he was basically the background noise for Kevin Garnett. He was the yes man. He was like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whose is it Durant? Is it Garnett's podcast or Paul Pierce's podcast?
I don't know. Like, who's the proprietor of this? I always see him when they're together. Garnett does most of the talking, so I'll say de facto it's Kevin Garnett. But here's Kevin Garnett and his soundtrack, Paul Pierce, talking about Kevin Durant and the method to Durant's madness joining the Houston Rockets.
I hate to go here, but this is right. This is what it is.
Right.
KD coming here, when they start doing drills one-on-one, you don't want to get down? Man, bro, that's going to tell.
That's going to tell the story.
He trying to see what's in here.
Right.
Them young boys, he got amen.
See what's in here.
Amen. Them twins going to be a problem in this league. Greeny ain't going nowhere, man. They already a problem. So learning from this two-time champion, this MVP, coming in here with this confidence, seeing his shooting, seeing his arc, seeing his technique, seeing how he come in, how he work on his bag, how he work on his body. Man, this is what you want when you're a young guy, especially A-Man and Junior. Jabari and A-Man watching, bro. Man, this is their path.
He good.
I see the effects of what it can be, but then you got to think about this side. Egos. You know, just like Paul said, when the young kid Anthony come to Boston, he can't think that, yeah, I'm going to come in here and get 29. No, let me come in here and learn these guys in this system in Boston, because this ain't Portland. I miss an assignment here, it might be some repercussions, or it might be a whole nother, right. You know what I'm saying? So when you get to Houston, first thing, KD not won it a couple of times. So he coming in here like, okay, look, when we play, this how y'all, he on the same team Paul was. Paul took Jeff Green and started wrestling Jeff Green. Jeff Green was like, what's going on? He was like, yeah, I'm just trying to see what you're going to look like when we get in the thick.
Great stuff from Kevin Garnett, man. Here's the big takeaways for me, Seth, is he mentioned Amen Thompson and Greeny. He was calling them Alper and Şengün. They're going to be a problem. Those guys and other young players from the Rockets have an opportunity to learn from a future Hall of Famer, but I immediately thought of Jabari Smith, who we talked about earlier, got the 5-year, $122 million deal, the extension. We played audio from Ari Alexander and his conversation with him from KPRC last week, and he's already in the lab working, trying to be a better ball handler, trying to be more physical, trying to develop a higher motor, work on his endurance and stamina, so on and so forth. That's a guy who and those are really three guys immediately that I think are going to mesh about as well as you can with a guy like Kevin Durant coming in with so many pelts on the wall.
Yeah, well, I like the image of it almost like it's a throwback to those old stories about never mind, I'm blanking. Larry Bird, thank you. Larry Bird and the way he would challenge and test rookies, or Michael Jordan, or any of those guys. Durant in. I'm not doing a power ranking of all-time greats or anything. But as he was talking about him coming in and testing the young guys, I started thinking and wondering, all right, by and large, I feel pretty good about all these guys. You know, obviously, Amen Thompson is not one to shy away from being challenged or pressured or anything. I wondered a little bit about Cam Whitmore and how that might be an interesting just thing to monitor and watch if you're a coach. Is all right, let's see how all these guys respond to Kevin Durant trying to up everything a level or push guys or question guys and test guys that you maybe start to find out about some of the core of like how much these guys want to be tested and how much they want to prove. Because by and large, I feel like the guys that that they have there for the most part are the kinds of guys that are going to respond to that in a positive way.
I thought of Cam Whitmore, honestly, first.
Yeah.
When like the image that I have in my mind is, you know, Kevin Durant on one side, Ime Udoka on the other side, and they're both giving Cam Whitmore like the side eye, like, bro. Like, yeah. we're here, we're waiting. You know what I mean? Like, if that dude shows up late to a practice, if that dude isn't there before them, then I think they're going to think, they're going to think thoughts. And they're going to be like, dude, what are we doing? You're 20, and Kevin Durant is here. Like, we're a 50-plus win ball club. I told PC this the other day. If that's not enough motivation for you to, you know, just step your game up and play the way that Ime demands, you know, that swarm mentality that D'Amico, wants and expects from not just defensive guys, but offensive guys as well. Like, that's a prerequisite. If you want to play for us, you better come with that. Ime's got the same kind of thing going on. And if Kevin Durant can't pull the rest of that out of you, if you're Cam Whitmore or any other young player, then there's a problem. And you don't have a role on this team. It's just that simple. The Texans have said, if you're lacking this, you can't play here.
Yeah, no, I mean, with Jabari Smith Jr., he's worked with Durant already. And so there's no fear there. I think if anything, Durant probably already has notes for the Rockets on exactly what he thinks Jabari Smith needs to work on that he's already shared with Jabari Smith Jr. That part of it, and I think Durant's the whole thing feels better than Durant maybe when he was in his ring chasing days or whatever it might be. And don't get me wrong, this is ring chasing still.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as constructing a super team. And some of the lessons that you learn, like when you construct that team you do in Brooklyn, you realize, oh, boy, it really is a lot harder to do in real life than it is on paper. Little things like the little things pop up. Personalities have to be managed. Pandemics and shutdowns happen. Like all of these things make it way, way, way harder to pull off than sometimes just doing the more old school. Oh, okay. Here's a team with a talented young core that just needs a couple of veterans to one veteran. One big veteran and maybe a couple other fringe veterans to put him over the top. That feels more like the Astros in 2017.
You know, last week when the Rockets made this deal with the Suns, somebody had texted in, and I thought it was a good thought. But they asked the question, you know, if Kevin Durant wins a championship with the Houston Rockets this season or at some point in time over the next 3 years with the idea in mind that he's here with the Rockets young core, like the team basically is currently constructed, right? Does that change his legacy? Like, not necessarily change it, but does that kind of improve it? I mentioned the heel turn, you know, earlier in the show with you going from Oklahoma City to Golden State and the narrative that followed and ensued of, you know, him becoming a villain and ring chasing and that whole thing, and ring he chased and rings he got, and now he's here, but he's like the dude, he's the superstar, the future Hall of Famer. And that's not to discount like the potential and hopeful development of guys like Şengün and Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson, but if they win a title, does that kind of, is that like his title, like the first one that you could say like that's Durant's title or no?
Whether you say it's his title or not, I think he gets more actual credit for being the driving force behind it. The guy's won two finals MVPs, you know, and yet because he did it with the Warriors, there's kind of a grudging acknowledgement of that because they were already a great team. But if he had done it, and yet LeBron, if LeBron wins finals MVP, you know, in Miami with a really talented team around him, but because he created it, then he's going to get more of that full credit because he was the architect of it, or at least partly the architect of it.
Yeah.
I think it does. I mean, it just necessarily, I think winning a championship with another team is going to change the narrative on your career. Obviously, winning a championship in general does at any point, but this feels more like business is the way it's always been and traditionally has been in pro sports. This isn't not a constructed super team. They struggled with offense. They came in, Durant improved the offense. He wins the MVP of the finals and the championship. That's much more so his championship than the Warriors ones, obviously.
I agree with you. There's not an argument that can be had. I for me at least, I fully agree with you. I just don't like the whole discussion to begin with because I didn't even like it when he went from Oklahoma City to Golden State because he was a really good player joining some other really good players in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, certainly getting with the head coach and Steve Kerr. It was a great team already, right? And ring chasing, I get that whole narrative. I totally understand that. But he went there. He wasn't a distraction. He wasn't a perfect fit. And he won. And not only did he win and they won, but he was the NBA Finals MVP. There's that. Cam texts in on the YouTube chat. He says, if Durant gets a ring with us, he should be in the GOAT talks. Just look at the career stats. The whole ring chasing thing is the only blemish. Kevin Durant's already in the GOAT talks, in my opinion, and has been in the GOAT talks. This just kind of, maybe if there's another heel turn, maybe this is it for Durant because this is like the swan song, right? He wants to retire a Houston Rocket. He wanted to come to the Houston Rockets, and both sides, the Suns and the Rockets, made it possible.
I guess, yeah, the GOAT talk. I don't like GOAT. You mean the GOAT power rankings, maybe?
Yeah, the power rankings, yeah. Not like the greatest of all time.
Yeah. So greatest is the group of greatest of all time. I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hell, as much as we talk about GOAT in sports, I mean, there's like 15 in each.
I know, yeah. No, and with basketball especially, like the recency bias is huge and strong and exactly. All of that. I think elevating him up on the greatest of all time lists, wherever people have him at any given time. Like, he's probably usually somewhere in the early teens for greatest of all time. That if he were to win two championships with the Rockets, how much would that vault him up over?
Yeah.
Various guys.
All right, coming up next, final segment already. We'll talk to the guys from In the Loop, Reggie Adetula, and Chris Partee in for John Lopez today. So we'll talk to them here in a little bit. Also, I want to have this discussion real quick. Can Dana Brown, Seth, think about this. Can Dana Brown ever reach the Jeff Luhnow status around here? We'll discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. We'll talk to the fellas, Reggie Adetula and Chris Partee. And for John Lopez today with Figgy Fig, we got a text earlier in the show, and I told him I was going to talk about this anyway, and I wish I really wouldn't have saved it for the final segment, but we did talk a lot of Astros today, I have to admit that, but not really from this perspective, but the texter had the same idea that I did, obviously, coming into the morning when I wanted to ask the question, Dana Brown ever reach the Jeff Luhnow status around here in these parts, and talk about the he wanted us to talk about like everything that Dana Brown has really done with this Astros ball club since he himself has kind of been given the keys to the car, and maybe when that point in time came could be a little subjective for us, right, as just observers without being on the in on the know. And I'll just put it to you this way, Seth, like I thought at one point last season I questioned whether or not Jim Crane was going to allow Brown to actually do his job. And there was one player and one player alone that made me even ask that question. His name was Jose Abreu. And ultimately, Dana Brown jettisoned Jose Abreu. They decided to eat that money. And it felt like ever since that point in time, that was when the Astros turned things around, almost a year to the day, maybe a couple of weeks, but He ended up making an impactful trade last season. You remember Yusei Kikuchi, he brought him in, and that's kind of what got things started, I think, with Dana Brown, like, hey, this guy's actually making the calls now and the decisions, and we stopped hearing from Jeff Bagwell or Jim Crane, and it was Dana Brown, and it felt very much like he and Joe Espada were more simpatico than maybe they had ever been at that point in time.
Yeah, I think that the two big that's interesting that if you point that as the kind of the pivot point, the Kikuchi trade to where, mm-hmm. okay, this is Dana Brown's trade. It's an aggressive move at the trade deadline. I think that Jim Crane is still a part of that in that he is an owner that is always going to want his GM to be aggressive when it's appropriate. But when you are aggressive, be sure you're right in doing whatever you're doing aggressively. And he did that. Like, so I don't know if he would have pulled that off. Like, Dana Brown is a guy that, you know, is a scout that wants to bolster the pipeline as much as possible. And if he had to step back and it was his team that he owned, he might have operated differently. I don't know if Dana Brown would have made that move for Kikuchi. Who knows? But when, whether because of pressure from the owner or because he felt it was the right thing to do, he made a great trade that was very unpopular and people had many valid reasons to be skeptical of at the time. It ended up being great for the Astros last year.
Yeah.
I think that the part that's always hard is a new GM ever going to get credit for sustaining success as much as the GM like Jeff Luhnow, who created the initial success? I think because there was an interim period there with James Click, and that James Click didn't really alter things that, like, James Click did a good job of riding the wave of what Jeff Luhnow had created. And he did. I don't want to take away from the good things that Click did, but it wasn't an aggressive restructure or a reset or anything else like that.
Yeah.
So by the time Dana Brown takes over, it's clear that, okay, this is going to be a different team moving forward. You don't have the benefit of this pipeline that the Astros have had for so many years. What can you do to give us sustained success in the future? In the short term, yeah, it looks like it's very much on track. It's really what happens with the draft picks over the next couple of years, the prospects. I mean, we're still signing and calling up journeyman veteran players right now. John Singleton gets signed to the minor league roster last week. They're still in that process. But yeah. I think because of that, he will 100% get more credit. If the Astros win a World Series sometimes in the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to get a lot more credit than James Click, who was unceremoniously fired after the last World Series championship.
Sustainability is interesting, right? Because I thought about an article written by Chandler Rome of The Athletic a while back after the Kyle Tucker trade was consummated. You get Hayden Wisniewski, you get Cam Smith, you get Isak Paredes in the deal coming to the Houston Astros. And in that column that Rome wrote, he discussed how Dana Brown's tenure was going to be defined by that trade. And I think that's pretty damn interesting when you talk about the sustainability of continuing to ride that wave, like in this dynastic run that the Astros have been on since 2017, when they won the first World Series and they'd finally broken through. So far, so damn good. And now the news over the course of the last, week or so that, hey, they've brought Jeremy Peña to the table. And this is a guy who's got two arbitration years left. They're obviously very interested on a long-term, agreement with him. I think they can maybe foresee that being the case with a guy like Cam Smith one day. And you've got Yordan and Altuve still in the mix for a few years, right? Where you've got a good opportunity to mesh, the future faces maybe of this organization with the current. And when you look at Dana Brown's tenure, so far so good, but if he's able to pull this off and the Astros are able to continue, you ask the question, can the new GM ever, get the fair amount of credit that, he should because of what the old one did in Jeff Luhnow and the World Series that came because of it? The answer is maybe not, unless you win another one.
Yeah.
You win a World Series with Dana Brown as GM, then I think it's inarguable. And I think then we're headed down that path where, to answer the question that I asked, does Dana Brown ever come close to reaching the Jeff Luhnow status around here? Like, Jeff could do no wrong. And, you know, look at the architecture that he did. The answer is yes. I think he absolutely can.
Especially when you consider the fact that 10 years from now, it's more likely that Dana Brown will still be welcomed back in the team facility and talked about by the owner and everything. Honestly, as you reflected on that and what is the legacy of Jeff Luhnow, like, yeah, you can't extract the being better than everybody else scandal from everything else. And partly because, I mean, that was a classic instance of, by the time the team told everybody to knock it off, the Astros could have easily just knocked it off at that point. Whatever advantage they had gained had vanished because teams were on to whatever the Astros were doing. All the other teams in baseball that had been doing shady stuff kind of had a get out of free jail free period, to where if you had just knocked it off, then it probably never would have become a story.
Yeah.
And yet, because Luhnow just couldn't be bothered to distribute the memo to knock it off, and like, they kept doing something that by that point, if anything, was harming them, because that's the part. The extra 1 or 2 months that they did it, where it wasn't giving them the benefits that they thought it was, and yet all, like, you just distribute the damn memo. That's all it took. That's all it would have taken. Damn it.
Forward. Send all.
Yes.
That's it. Just a couple of clicks.
It was, so they're so close.
Hey, you asked me a question during the break. What's the worst move Dana Brown has made in his tenure? And I don't know if you've come to if you've settled on one particular decision or not, but I'm here with it. I think the one thing that people would criticize Dana Brown for at this point in time is maybe something that he ultimately didn't really have any control over, and that's bringing Jose Abreu back from the 23 season into the 24 season.
Yeah.
It was a 3-year, $60 million contract that he himself didn't sign off on. You know, that was a Jim Crane thing / Jeff Bagwell, depending on who you are and what you believe. Like, that wasn't his deal. What were you going to do? I think ultimately what we just talked about, when did he get the keys to the car? Maybe he was a very large part of, you know, standing in on the table and pounding it for, this is why we have to move on.
Yeah.
Maybe for what you feel like you should pick and prod at him and blame him for is something that maybe he should be rewarded for.
The biggest part, when I Googled why should Dana Brown be fired, most of it comes up right around the time of the Kikuchi trade last year.
Giving up the beloved Joey Loperfido. Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's see. Headline, Dana Brown is the worst GM in the history of sports. That was July 30th of 2024. The Kikuchi trade is the one where everything was at its most heightened. The Astros had made their turnaround, but it was still, you're still reeling from how bad the beginning of the season had been.
Yeah.
And I was very, very skeptical of the Kikuchi trade to begin with. It ended up being a really smart trade, and it was one made by a GM that understands the strengths. One of the strengths of his organization is their ability to get better performance out of guys like Kikuchi.
Yeah, to scout, to evaluate. Looking at you, Ryan Gusto, looking at you, Brandon Walter, looking at you, Colton Gordon, anybody and everybody that they've had to throw into the mix that was literally not in our minds, to start the season. Like, Colton Gordon, why am I seeing this guy's name pop up every once in a while? And it's like, oh, yeah, well, they must know what they're talking about. Brandon Walter, Jason Alexander, Ryan Gusto, who are these guys? It's working. It's working. And Dana Brown, he was lauded for being an excellent talent evaluator before he became a Houston Astro general manager, and it's showing through right now. The fellas from In the Loop are here. No John Lopez today. We got Reggie Atatula with my guy Chris Partee. Fellas, what's going on?
Yo,
what's,
man,
happening?
No John Lopez all week. He is
all week.
Yeah,
big,
yeah,
baller. Him and Pendergast, are they vacationing together?
They chilling.
I would love to imagine that, except I'm trying to imagine what the vacation would have to be for both of them to go together. Like, what is the joint vacation location for John Lopez and Sean Pendergast? Like, what is that portion of the Venn diagram that works? You know?
I, Yeah, I feel like where Sean is right now, he's at an all-inclusive resort. That might work because Lopez would be able to go off on fishing trips, but then come back and enjoy it. And then Sean would not. Sean might go out on one fishing trip with Lopez, and John could kind of show him some things here and there. But then Sean would want to get back to his resort.
I was going to say the common denominator between the two: gambling.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
Good call.
That's it.
Riverboat.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
on a riverboat.
Yeah.
Lopez fishing off the bow.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And Pendergast playing the slots. Yeah. Although he doesn't strike me as a slots player necessarily.
No.
Like he
Table
seems
guy.
Like he wants to play a game of skill.
Yeah. Well, Lopez
Chris,
too.
Chris, you should be a travel agent, Chris. That was brilliant.
That was really good.
Hey, I might have to get that going. Get my agency going.
Yeah.
Up and running.
Go get a loan for that antiquated business.
Right. Exactly.
Walk into the bank and I'm like, I'm ready to start a travel. I got three new dot matrix printers to print out tickets.
But I got at least two potential clients already. We just talked about it. So I'm good. I'm good to go.
Although I will say, as someone who is like booked a flight for this week, I understand that it's accessible online. I think I might be like reverting in some ways and seeing the value of the travel agent. I kind of want to just hand this off to somebody and let them do it.
Like, client number three.
Figure out all this other stuff.
Client number three. Right
including
there.
Parking at the airport. Please figure that out.
There you go. Traverse City, Michigan. Did they reel you into that one? Is that where you're going?
I mean, I would love to, especially if you get to do like play five rounds of golf for one day of work. Like that'd be
right. Good Lord, man.
I'm so jealous of them fellas.
I got to be honest with you. I started looking at.
did you looking at flights?
Yes. They did that segment towards the end of their show on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, and I'm like, damn, Traverse City, Michigan. Yeah, that sounds pretty nice. And I started looking at the pictures, and Ron posted on Facebook, and it's like. He was talking about like, hey, it looks like the Caribbean. And I'm like, holy crap. There's an infinity pool with really blue water in the background. And I see margaritas. I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
It's up. It's way up north in the Upper Peninsula. So it's nice weather this time of year, at least relative to Houston. And The big north. I'm going to try to go to somewhere north of the Arctic Circle next summer. I just want to be somewhere where I'm chilly in the morning. That's all I want.
Hold on. You said north of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, north of the Arctic Circle.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going alone on that one, big fella.
I don't know about it. Hey, I'll book it for you.
Hey, I'm just
saying.
Get your ass to work on that one. And we're getting texts on the text line right now from travel agents. We knew travel agencies still existed. Thank you, 281. But like, we got people who are actually travel agents, and I don't know if they're trying to like recruit me or if they're trying to get my service or like.
Hey, don't be stealing my clients now. Don't be honing in on my business already.
They are no like actual travel agents. Are they? They probably work for companies though, right? Like they're not.
A lot of them do. Yeah, a lot of them do.
I would imagine so. Like, I feel like it takes a lot of cojones to be in business for yourself in certain industries, and that would be one that I'd absolutely feel like that one.
I've got some really close friends that are very entrepreneurial.
Yeah,
and they're in the financial sector, and I just happened to go over one of them. Buzzy, I took them to the Metallica concert. With
oh
me.
Yeah.
And his wife, we were talking, making small talk before we left. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm in travel agency now. And I said, what? She's a nurse. She works in finance. And now you're a travel agent.
She's a hustler.
Like, I don't know how that works. So to answer your question, maybe it's like a subsidiary of a business, or I didn't know you could do it by yourself.
It says, according to AI, travel agencies are experiencing a resurgence in popularity.
There you go.
Yeah. Because people want some personalized service and specialized knowledge. Yes. Good for you, enterprise. You know what? you saw a need, and you're answering that need.
There we go.
But I don't want to pay anything extra. I'm going to Google Flights.
You're just going to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you got the hookup here personally with Chris.
Hey, I got you. I'll take you.
He'll be up and running by tomorrow.
I bet Chris didn't think filling in for Lopez would lead to a new career. But
hey,
congratulations.
I'm going to do it all, man. I'm going to do it all.
Hey, you got the time, man. You only got a four-hour radio show.
Exactly.
Seth, I will see you tomorrow,
sir. Can I do something for you? Because I know that one thing that typically Seth and Sean enjoy before we head into the show is letting them know what our question of the day is.
Oh, yeah.
Inspired by, for me, digging into the crates and finding one of my favorite Pete Carroll quotes, what's your favorite sports quote is what our question
Ooh,
of the day is.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Do you have anything off the top of your head? Seth?
I can give you my favorite movie quote, which is when Harry is strangling Lloyd Christmas because Harry found out that Lloyd had extra gloves, and Harry was going and Harry was flipping out because he had no gloves. And Lloyd Christmas says, "Harry, your hands are freezing." That's my favorite movie quote.
All right,
sports quote. I'm having a hard time. I could go. Let me give you the never underestimate the heart of a
champion.
There
you go. Yeah, there that's go. Always there a good go. One to go to.
It's a low hanging fruit, Seth.
All right. That's a good one. It's a good plump fruit. You know,
it is. It's a good one. Off the top of my head, Augie Garrido, former Texas Longhorn baseball coach, wise man, and he once said, "This isn't about some GD game. It's about lives." Pounded the table.
That's right.
That's my favorite sports quote.
That's how you get them going, man.
Get them pumped up.
Love it. All right. You've got Reggie Adatula and Chris Partee in for Lopez today. Seth, I will see you tomorrow, my man.
See you tomorrow, man. Good job.
Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. You are listening to KILT AM, KILT HD2, an Odyssey Sports Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.